Good morning, church. This is Donald. I'm the youth director here at SP, and I'll be leading us through the next couple Thursday EMPs for the month of September. And for this month, we'll go through the five laments and lamentations. So let's turn to the Book of Lamentations, chapter one, or not chapter, yeah, chapter one. Lamentations chapter 1. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. She has become like a widow who was once great among the nations. She who has a princess among the provinces has become a forced laborer. She weeps bitterly in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. She has none to comfort her among all her lovers. All her friends have dealt with her treacherously. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile under affliction and under harsh servitude. She dwells among the nations, but she has found no rest. All her pursuers have overtaken her in the midst of distress. The roads of Zion are in mourning because no one comes to the appointed feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests are groaning. Her virgins are afflicted, and she herself is bitter. Her adversaries have become her masters. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has caused her grief. Because of the multitudes of her transgressions, her little ones have gone away as captives before the adversary. All her majesty has departed the daughter of Zion. Her princes have become like deer. They have no pasture, and they have fled without strength before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and homelessness, Jerusalem remembers all her precious things that were from the days of old. When her people fell into the hand of the adversary and no one helped her, the adversary saw her, they mocked her at her ruin. Jerusalem sinned greatly, therefore she has become an unclean thing. All who honored her despised her, because they have seen her nakedness. Even she herself groans and turns away. Her uncleanliness was in her skirts, she did not consider her future. Therefore, she has fallen astonishingly. She has no comforter. See, O Lord, my affliction, for the enemy has magnified himself. The adversary has stretched out his hand over all her precious things, for she has seen the nations enter her sanctuary, the ones whom you commanded, that they should not enter into your congregation. All her people groan, seeking bread. They have given their precious things for food. To restore their lives themselves. See, O Lord, and look, for I am despised. Is it nothing to all you who pass this way? Look and see if there is any pain like my pain, which was severely dealt out to me. When the Lord inflicted on the day of his fierce anger, from on high he sent fire into my bones, and it prevailed over them. He has spread a net for my feet. He has turned me back. He has made me desolate, faint all day long. The yoke of my transgression is bound. By his hand they are knit together. They have come upon my neck. He has made my strength fail. The Lord has given me into the hands of those against whom I am not able to stand. The Lord has rejected all my strong men in my midst. He has called an appointed time against me to crush my young men. The Lord has trodden as in a winepress the virgin daughter of Judah. For these things I weep. My eyes run down with water, because far from me is a comforter, one who restores my soul. My children are desolate because the enemy has prevailed. Zion stretches out her hands. There is no one to comfort her. The Lord has commanded concerning Jacob that the ones round about him should be his adversaries. Jerusalem has become an unclean thing among them. The Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against his command. Hear now, all peoples, and behold my pain. My virgins and my young men have gone into captivity. I call to my lovers, but they deceive me. My priests and my elders perished in the city, while they sought food to restore their strength themselves. See, O Lord, for I am in distress. My spirit is greatly troubled. My heart is overturned within me. for I have been very rebellious. In the street, the sword slays. In the house, it is like death. They have heard that I groan. There is no one to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my calamity. They are glad that you have done it. Oh, that you would bring the day which you have proclaimed, that they may become like me. Let all their wickedness come before you, and deal with them as you have dealt with me. For all my transgressions, for my groans are many, and my heart is faint. Let's go to the Lord. Abba, Father God, we just thank you for this morning to be able to spend this little time with you, to receive from you, to hear from you, to set a direction for our day to come, God. So be with us and speak to us as we dive into your word today. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. So, you know, as we'll go through the book of Lamentations, I thought it would be good if we kind of do a quick background into the book. There are five chapters in the book of Lamentations, and each chapter is a different poem. Five different poems for the book of Lamentations, five laments. The book of Lamentations, these poems were written by an anonymous author, and it was written after the Babylonian siege in 2 Kings, around 23 and 24. At this point, the Babylonian siege into Jerusalem is possibly the worst thing that has happened to the Israel people's history. And one thing about these poems is that the first four poems, so chapters 1 and 4, these laments were written in an acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet, meaning that it is a, you know, each line starts with the letter of the alphabet. So after the first, after the second. So in the 22 lines that we see in chapters 1, 2, and 4, it starts with each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So 22 lines for 22 letters. Chapter 3 is a bit longer, so that's and we'll talk about that when we get there in a couple weeks. So to dissect this first poem, this chapter 1, the metaphor, the author uses the metaphor for Jerusalem as a grieving widow named the daughter of Zion, and that shows up in verse 6. The first half of this poem describes the current state and what it's like after Babylon has ransacked it. And the second half is a call for help of sorts, a protest to the current state of things. The writer likens the fall of Jerusalem to a woman of great power and authority and her losing it, right? Going from a princess to a slave. The highest of highs to the lowest of lows, basically. The writer describes a lack of help and comfort that was afforded to Israel, that God did not come for Jerusalem's rescue. People either fled, perished, or left to suffer through oppression, in this case, under Babylon. And what's most important here is that the writer knows why Jerusalem has fell. As said in verses 8, 9, 10, as well as 18, 20, the writer sees the fall of Jerusalem due to Jerusalem, or the people of Israel, or the people of Jerusalem, and the kingdom of Judah, in this case, and their sin, basically. And so that's kind of a simple dissection of what's happening, which, you know, reading through this, and it's a lament, so it's a very sad poem. It can be quite of a bit of a downer as we begin our morning. Now, for sure, for the writer, because, you know, as one goes through suffering, the writer himself, they don't know what's going to happen, right? They don't know when this suffering, this season of captivity or oppression would end. But for us, you know, for those who know Israel's history, and for us as the church, and someone who has the Bible in front of us, right, we know that Jerusalem and the temple will be restored. And some, you know, some may argue that might actually be quite quick, probably within less than 100 years. We are reminded in this case, when we look at everything as a whole, we are reminded of God's covenant with his people. See, the history of Israel shows us that there's this perpetual cycle of God's people turning away from God. Then they'll suffer calamities from their disobedience and rejection of God. And in their disobedience, then they'll cry out to him. God then hears them and rescues them. God then restores them. And then once they're restored and back into, you know, relationship with God, they start to prosper again. And this can be said about us in the modern day, right? We'll start with our cycle. We're in a bad spot. We cry out to God. God rescues us. God restores us. Then we start enjoying a time with God. And then we thrive. And then in a period of thrive, you know, of our thriving, we forget about God, and then we roll back into being a bad spot simply because we are no longer in communion with God, right? And so this type of cycle happens all the way from Abraham, right? When first God, enters into covenant with him, right? And you see it throughout the Old Testament. You see it throughout the history of Israel, that this is a cycle that's repeatedly happening, and it's happening even with us in our daily lives. And so now, if this sounds like, you know, God is very conditional, that's because it is, right? And that's kind of the point of a covenant relationship, because God's covenant now isn't about God's unconditional love, right? Unconditional love allows us to enter into covenant relationship with God. But once we're in a covenant relationship with God, it doesn't mean that we can just live as we want and break the terms of our covenant with him. See, God's covenant with his people stipulates that if they follow God's command, if we follow God's command, then in turn, God's presence will be with them, right? You'd hear us talk about the Holy Spirit in this way, right? We normally talk about how sensitive the Holy Spirit is, that, when we're in sin, or even something that's very visceral. I think P. Ricky shared about him watching this movie Elysium, and it was a very intense scene in that, like, he just felt like the Spirit of God just removed himself. The hand of God just removed himself from P. Ricky that time. As well as, I think, PSM sometimes jokes about how when he's into certain arguments, he can feel the dove going away, right? It's, you know, and that's how this Holy Spirit works within us these days. That whenever we're in sin, or it's just something that's super intense, because the Holy Spirit is so sensitive, if it's in situations like that, we may feel the Holy Spirit remove himself from us until things are, good with us and God again. Right. And so in this case, that God will make Israel his chosen people. Right. So if we follow God's commands, then in turn, God's presence will be with them, that God will make Israel the chosen people in their obedience to God. Right. But however, you know, in the case of history of Israel and ourselves as well, Israel keeps rejecting this. Right, and wanting to make their own choices in the way that they want to. They want to live, you know, we see it in the way that they demanded kings, right? That it was not God's intent for Israel to have a king, yet they kept pushing, and finally God acquiesces, and, you know, minus a couple of good kings, most of them ended up being kind of terrible at ruling over Israel, and later on both Israel and Judah. But we also know that, while they're away from God and they're suffering through their calamities, only when things go way off track do the people of Israel return back to God. And at that point, God hears their cries and they're restored. They're rescued and then restored. And so this will be a key for us as we read through Lamentations, right? To remember of God's covenantal love, in spite of what has happened to Jerusalem at that time, right? For the writer in this case, to know that God is still on their side, even as they're being overtaken. It is good in some sense that the writer was able to recognize why all of this is happening, because it's because of Israel's sin. And so, you know, for us today, what I want, what I'd like for us to take away here is that, you know, to know this in our hearts, right, that we are in a covenant relationship, and that no matter what, when we call upon the name of the Lord, God will hear us, right? Even if we've been away for a while, even if we've been away for a short time, right? When we are in our place, we can go in faith back to God because of this covenant that we have with him. God made a deal with Moses so many times. God made a deal with Moses, and so many times God could have broken things off due to the failure of the Israel people in keeping the law, but he doesn't, right? Each time, though it would be for a season, each time when the people of Israel call out to God, God will hear them, God will rescue them, and God will restore them. And in this case, in this sense, God keeps his promises. Though at times it may be hard to see the end, but let us remember of his covenant love with us when we are in need. And so no matter our circumstances, we may be at the highest of highs and we may be at the lowest of lows. Let's remember God's covenant with us, that we be restored when we turn our eyes back to God. So if we can have worship, I think Wesley will lead us to worship. And as we sing today, just whether we're in prayer or singing along, let us remember this. Let us remember, yes, we are people of who repeatedly fail God, who repeatedly need to be restored. But we can have faith knowing that God will always be there when we call out to him because we are in this covenant relationship. So let's worship.
Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that sees, who seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that sees, who seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another.
Father, you know, as verse 18 says, you are righteous, and as we have rebelled against you, Lord, you have every right to reject us. You have every right to break your covenant. But Abba, Father, Lord, you are gracious and merciful. You don't do that to us, God. You may remove yourself, but when we call out back to you, God, you hear us and you come back and you restore us, God. And so we thank you for that. And as we go about our days, God, Lord, may we be able to meditate upon that. Whether it's small or big acts against you, Abba Father God, or acts against other people, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you draw us back to you so that we can be restored and to be with communion with you again. So we thank you, Lord. Let's go to our prayer points. Let's first lift up those who are going through cancer or going through treatment. So let's pray. Let's pray for those who are in need of healing as well as having God come into their lives. Let's pray over our fellow brothers and sisters who are going through different types of infirmities. May God come and heal them. Let's pray for those in our community that's looking for jobs, that God will open new doors, and that during this time that they're able to enjoy the Sabbath time with God, and for God to provide during this time. Jump to our Thursday prayer points. Let's pray for our SP plants all over. Let's pray for Singapore and Pastor Sam Kim, Spin and Pastor Salamat, Spill with Pastor Ernie, and SP New York with Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Let's lift up our education ministry. So let's pray for SP Kids, for P. Mary and Lisa to guide the ministry for SP Youth. Pray for me, and pray for SPU and P. Andrew. We're soon about to kick off a new SP school year. So as we continue to figure out how to do all of this stuff online, we just pray. We just ask that you pray for us for God's wisdom during this time, and patience amongst everyone in the ministries. Let's lift up our prayer and healing ministry. So let's lift up IP and Matt as he leads the ministry, as well as the well and river led by Rachel. Let's lift up our evening outreaches. Let's lift up SP Lights and our team that works with sons and daughters in ministering to the Red Light District. Let's lift up our homies that, although they are during this time suspended from going and visiting our friends, that during this time they're able to still connect, whether it's through phone, whether it's through maybe even just seeing them on the streets for a short period of time. So let's lift up our evening outreach teams. Let's lift up our Thursday gatherings. EEG is still happening. So let's pray over our EEG class that's meeting tonight. Pray that as they meet over online that, that everything will still be able, that they're able to still experience God to the fullest. And helping without hurting just finished. So let's just pray as a covering for those who just finished that they're able to take what they've learned and then apply to all the different ministries that they are involved in. Let's lift up all the house churches that are meeting today. Yay, house church is back. Let's pray for East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, Westville, McRobinson, that God will just be at the center of their community, the center of their online calls, or however it is that they're meeting. First time back, it'll be great to see everyone. So let's lift up our house churches. Finally, let's lift up our city, our home. Continue to pray over our COVID situation. It's great to know, praise God that we've been seeing a lot less cases, but pray for strength and resolve for the people of Hong Kong to continue to to live out their lives, diligently, keeping things clean, keeping, you know, physically distant, as well as just, yeah, not going too all out once restrictions are coming off. So let's lift up our city. Abba Father, God, we just thank you for this chance to pray to you this morning. We thank you so much, yeah, for all that you've done. And we thank you most definitely for being in this relationship with us, God, and always having our backs, especially when we don't deserve it, God. So, yeah, as we move on for the rest of the day, be with us. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you later on for LTP. Bye-bye.